It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey's holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. The free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158. You got a smart speaker? Great. Ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. You can go to cbssportsradio.com. So many ways to listen. I hope you paid attention. There's going to be a quiz at the end. Anyway, you want to participate in the show? Phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can get a hold of me. I am everywhere. I'm online. I am on social media. I am at JR Sport Brief. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So we've been busy. Thank you so much to Rich Samini. Covers the New York Jets for ESPN. He just joined us before we went to break. New York Jets might look into tampering charges against the Kansas City Chiefs. Mecole Hardman says, yeah, I quit on the Jets last year. Then I messaged the general manager to come get me. And then he got traded to the team. Wow. The New York Jets also saying that Zach Wilson is free to shop his services to other NFL teams. Not a shock. We also know that if things don't work out for the New York Jets next season, then there's going to be a lot of heads that are likely to roll, including their head coach Rob Saleh, their general manager Joe Douglas, and I would assume that Aaron Rodgers will just say, hey, I'm out of here too. So a lot that we discussed with Rich Samini. We talked about Seattle and their quarterback situation. No guarantee that Geno Smith and or Drew Lock will be the starting quarterback later on this year. We heard that from their head coach, Mike McDonald, brand new head coach, Mike McDonald. The Dallas Cowboys said that they are looking to pay Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Parsons. And I'm thinking about these salaries that they'd have to pay them. And I go, this is a lot of money being invested into a bunch of dudes who didn't win anything. And the Dallas Cowboys basically have no choice. They're stuck in the middle. They're in football purgatory. 10, 11, 12, 13 wins just to go to the playoffs and lose. Must be nice. And then they'll blame it on Mike McCarthy sooner than later. So look out for that. We talked about Caleb Williams openly embracing Chicago, so much so now that he is a fan of deep dish pizza and Michael Jordan. Congratulations. And then, and we'll get to this. We'll talk more about this next hour as well. The NFL Players Association put out report cards. This is the second year that during the combine and before the start of free agency that they did a survey of their players. About 76% of them responded, who's the best coach and who's the worst coach and who's the best owner, who's the worst owner? And it got me to thinking, oh, well, by the way, the biggest surprise is that the players think the Chiefs have the worst owner in Clark Hunt, because this man doesn't hold and keep his promises. Like, I don't know, hey, you guys won a Super Bowl, let me build you a brand new facility and locker room. And he didn't, while he sits upstairs in a giant house. Literally, he built like a mansion inside of a suite. It's two stories. He built a two-story like apartment mansion house in the Chiefs stadium. Bananas. I didn't hear about this, didn't learn about this until today. Either way, the players think he sucks. And so to put some positivity into the universe, today for tonight's, this afternoon's top six list, this evening's top six, I want to take a look at some of the best owners in the world of sports. We all know the bad ones. James Dolan of the New York Knicks. Robert Nutting of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Those are just two bad ones. We all know the ones who are ass. Can I put Jerry Jones on a worst owner list? Probably not. Maybe general manager, but not owner list. And so I want to talk to you about some of the best owners across the world of sports, not just the NFL. Owners who I look at and go, hey, I appreciate you. I think your fan base should appreciate you. And so this is what I do every single Wednesday night. It's a new top six. Why six? Because it's unique. Who the hell else is doing six? Nobody. And if they are, it's fraudulent. Anyway, this is not fraudulent. This is very unique. Where's the fancy music?
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to get JR's latest top six list. Only on the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It's Wednesday. I just told you it's a new top six list. We're putting positivity out into the atmosphere. I'm sharing with you a top six list of some of the best owners in sports. Without wasting any time, where are we starting at? It's a countdown.
Number six.
We got to go to the Bay Area. Yeah, quite a few teams play in the Bay Area. But we got to go to a team in the Bay Area that is paying almost as much money in taxes as they are in their literal payroll. I am talking about Joe Lacob, owner of the Golden State Warriors of San Francisco. What a shock, right? What a shock. That the tech capital of the United States of America, where the guy who owns the team is a former hedge fund investment guy, count money this, is paying out the ass to put a product on the floor. Joe Lacob bought the Warriors in 2010. Before he bought this team, their last championship came in 1975. And we know over the past decade plus, they have won four, count them, four championships with multiple Hall of Famers. Yes, Klay Thompson is going in, even though he sucks now a little bit. Nice off the bench. And Draymond Green, he's going too, even though he's crazy, unless he kicks somebody else in the nuts. And so the Golden State Warriors, they've built a dynasty. You can't complain if you're a Warriors fan because of what Joe Lacob has done. And he has paid out the behind to keep this squad together. The Warriors, just in taxes and penalties, are paying $188 million this year. Just in penalties. The team salary, the payroll, is $207 million. That's ridiculous. It makes no sense. And he's talked about trying to keep the team together, but he wants to get under the tax because it makes no sense. He did say last year in May, he said, these rules, I'm spending all this money because I'm not going to let it stop us from winning. Listen.
The new CBA has a lot of restrictive rules that may not be directly aimed at you guys, but will impact you guys pretty heavily. How do you view that changing or not changing your future plans on roster?
We're going to win no matter what. I don't care what the rules are. We are going to figure out a way to do it. That's what good organizations do. They figure out a way to win the game. And our game is to win games and to win championships. And you know, when we came here, this ownership group 13 years ago, we made a ridiculous proclamation about winning within 5 years. And of course, somehow we managed to do it, all of us. Players and everybody involved, and we've continued to win. And look, the rules will change in the game, but we'll continue to do that.
We still gonna pay. Well, now he's, I think, tired of paying. Hey, Klay Thompson, you got to take a pay cut. Sorry, bro. Joe Lacob, one of the best owners in the world of sports. owns the Golden State Warriors. Got him at 6. What's the next number?
Number 5.
Yeah, well, let's go a little south of the Bay Area. Let's take a quick trip on the airplane. Let's go down to Los Angeles. And let's take a look squarely at the Dodgers. Let's take a look at Mark Walter, who led Guggenheim Partners to buy the Dodgers from McCourt, Frank McCourt, back in 2012 for $2 billion. Now look, the Dodgers, they've been competitive. They've won that one World Series back in the COVID year. But the fact of the matter is, the Dodgers are like the Yankees used to be. The Dodgers are like, I don't know, just let's buy everybody. Shohei Ohtani, $700 million contract. Mookie Betts, 12 years, $365. They gave a guy, Yamamoto, he's like MVP pitching every year. They gave this guy a 12-year deal, $325 million. He's never pitched in America. He pitched 2 scoreless innings today in spring training, by the way. Freddie Freeman is getting $162 million. It's just paying everybody. It's nuts. And nobody cares about Mark Walter because Magic Johnson is the most famous face in the ownership group. Magic, who also now owns a piece of the Commanders, Magic Johnson owns everything. Magic Johnson says owning the Dodgers, it's like a dream come true. That's what he told CBS News.
The best experience in my life. You know, owning the Dodgers have been incredible. I was a baseball fan growing up in Michigan, Detroit Tiger fan. Now to own the Dodgers, the two biggest brands in baseball to me, yeah, Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, and Cubs. But those two, the Dodgers and Yankees, are just huge, huge brands around the world. People know them around the world. And so for me to own the Dodgers, who started in Brooklyn, Jackie Robinson, first African-American to play in baseball, Major League Baseball, and for me to be one of the ones, African-Americans, be one of the first, it just blows me away.
Yeah, there were a lot of African-Americans before Jackie. He just broke the color barrier, 1947. We understand what you meant, though, Magic. Here's the facts. You heard Magic say it. It's the Yankees and the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are spending the big bucks. Even though right now the Yankees, if you take away all the stupid deferred money, Yankees are still spending a crap ton of money, too. Right at the top, the Dodgers. Man, you got to appreciate the ownership group led by Mark Walter. Guggenheim Partners. Who cares about them? It's all about Magic. I got the Dodgers here, number 5. We're talking about the top 6 owners in sports. What's the next number?
Number 4.
I got to look right here. Here in Atlanta, Georgia. Is this homerism? I don't think so. This is a matter of respect. I'm going with Arthur Blank. Yeah, Arthur Blank. If you had no idea, Arthur Blank is one of the partners and founders of Home Depot. Hey, Hookie, I wish I would have sold wood. I would be a billionaire, too. Great idea, right?
Great idea. I'm jealous.
And sell wood and power tools and plants. People always need wood. For now, they're good for Arthur Blank. Anyway, Arthur Blank isn't on this list because, they won a championship. They didn't. They choked it away. He's not on this list because he's, like, spending tons of money. He's not. He's not on this list because he has, like, superstar management or, you know, even a superstar QB. He doesn't. Yeah, let me remind you. He thinks his quarterbacks from the past year, he thinks they suck. Listen to this.
Our quarterback play this year was clearly deficient. But quarterback play includes, you know, scheme, play calling, other players. You know, there's a lot of things that go into what makes a quarterback successful or not.
Yeah, he thinks his team sucks, at least the quarterback sucks. Arthur Blank is on this list because he actually gives a damn about the fans. Here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you can park for free close to the stadium. Arthur Blank isn't just thinking about the Mercedes people. Let's think about the normal everyday fans. This is, as far as I know, one of the few places in North America, definitely the United States, where you go to a football game and get popcorn for $2, that you can get a cheeseburger for $5, that you can have a hot dog for $2, that you can have a drink that you can refill, that they're not just charging you out the behind for $15 bottles of water. Arthur Blank is a nice guy, very charitable too. That's why I got him on the list. He's one of the best owners, and sometimes, quite frankly, he's too nice. Needs to be mean, but not to the fans. Be mean to your management. Arthur Blank, got him at number 4 on the list. Top 6 owners in sports. If I got him at number 4, where we going next?
Number 3.
People don't think this guy's nice. People think this guy's a jerk. I think his own fan base thinks he's a jerk. I don't get it. They think he's cheap. I don't understand it. Maybe it's because they're New Yorkers. I got Steve Cohen at number 3 on my list, top 6 owners in sports. Steve Cohen, hedge fund billionaire, one of the wealthiest people on earth, wealthiest owner in Major League Baseball. This man bought the New York Mets. In 2020, he's improved the stadium, the video board, the concourses. It took him all of, 2 months of showing up to say, hey, Francisco Lindor, here's a $340 million contract. And after he bought the team, people were complaining about, you traded for the guy. Why didn't you sign him to a contract yet? It's like Met fans are wounded, abused animals. And then he gives Scherzer a contract. Here's $40 million a year, man. Then he gets Verlander. Here's $40 million a year. He has a bunch of young dudes that are in the minors, and he's trying to win right now by throwing away buckets of money at older, well, not reliable, but just known players. And it didn't happen. And so now he's starting over, and people are complaining that he's cheap. Hickey, help me out. What the hell is wrong with Met fans?
Some of them are just embarrassing themselves. Could not agree more.
This is nuts. This man has spared no expense. He brings on a general manager, the president, who worked for the Brewers, worked with a shoestring budget. And now, you even got fans going. He brought in the small market team to run a team like a small market. No! He brought in someone who's used to having no money and said, here's all the money in the world. Be smart with it. I mean, when Steve Cohen bought the team, he sat down and he basically told everybody, you know, from his first ever press conference, how he wanted to have a sustainable team and roster for the future.
You build champions. You don't buy them. And we have a great core on this team. And we're going to get better. And I plan to make the investments we need to succeed. We want to win now, but we're also building for the long term.
Yeah, and that's what he's done. And I don't know how people don't get it. Yeah, they haven't won a championship, but he didn't tell no lie. He didn't win out of the gate. And so now he's being smart to go forward. He tried to win out the gate, spend the money. And when the opportunity presents itself, I know the man will spend it again. I have Steve Cohen. Number 3 on my list, top 6 owners in sports. Who's next?
Number 2
is another billionaire. Ain't from no hedge fund stuff. This guy's rich from Microsoft, okay? Talking about Steve Ballmer, owner of the Clippers. He bought the team in 2014 after the other idiot had his racist messages go public. Hi, Donald Sterling. And Steve Ballmer is just, he's opening up arenas now. The Intuit Dome, where he's screaming about the amount of toilets. This man has got a new logo for the Clippers coming next season. It actually recognizes the Clippers as like boats and ships. And then his enthusiasm is through the roof. I guess this is what happens when you are a Microsoft billionaire nerd. I'd be high energy too. Anyway, listen to Steve Ballmer. July 2019, when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were introduced as the newest Clippers.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool, pretty damn cool. Woo! The only real thing we wanna do, I gotta say, being number two, being number four, we're only here for one reason. We wanna win it all. There's only one reason. I'm pumped to say hello as Clippers to Paul and Kawhi. Come on! Come on! Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're psyched as I am, get up! Yeah!
I don't think Kawhi Leonard has collectively been as excited about anything in his entire life the way that Steve Ballmer was excited in just those couple of seconds there. But I'd be excited too if I was worth $121 billion. Damn. Yeah, he's a top owner in sports. He just could build and do whatever he wants and does not give a damn. Yes, extra toilets for everybody at the new arena. It's the JR Sport Re-Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to share with you the number one owner in sports. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket. Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops. Playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about the top six owners in sports. This is Wednesday. And the NFL players actually did some voting today on who they think the best and worst ownership groups are. And they basically said that, yeah, the Hunt family, Clark Hunt, is down at the bottom of the barrel, even though the Kansas City Chiefs just won back-to-back championships. And so I wanted to be positive. I wanted to take a look at the top six owners in sports just across the board. And let me give you a quick refresher before I share with you who or what organization I have at number one. So at number six, I gave you Joe Lacob, owner of the Golden State Warriors. He bought the team in 2010. They win four titles since. This man is paying almost as much in tax penalties as he is with the team's actual payroll. $190 million in taxes. The payroll is close to $205 million. Do the math. That's trying to win, even though he's trying to cut back the budget now. And number five, I gave you Mark Walter. Mark Walter leads Guggenheim Partners, which owns the Los Angeles Dodgers. And unless you've been living underneath a rock, they're throwing money at everybody and anything. Hey, Shohei Ohtani, here's $700 million. Hey, Yamamoto, here's $325. Mookie Betts, we're already paying you. Hey, bring Freddie Freeman in here. Here's $162, $300, but just paying everybody. If you're a fan, you got to love it. Number four, I gave you Arthur Blank, top six owners in sports. Arthur Blank doesn't just give a damn about the rich folks. He actually wants everybody to experience the Falcons, like having concessions where you can actually buy food for $5. Thank you, Arthur Blank, and he's a nice guy. And number three, I gave you Steve Cohen. The man buys the Mets from arguably the cheapest owner in Major League Baseball outside of Robert Nutting. And people are criticizing him about not spending enough. He gives Francisco Lindor $300 million, $340, that's not enough. He gives Verlander $40, $44, that's not enough. He says Scherzer, he has $44 million, that's not enough. And then when they don't win, and they move him on. Now he's being cheap. You better kiss Steve Cohen's ass, because he's the reason why the Mets will be competitive again sooner than later, even if it's not as soon as people would like it to be. And number two, Steve Ballmer, Los Angeles Clippers. I know the Clippers have three fans, but they all need to be thrilled that Steve Ballmer, one of the wealthiest people on earth, is running that team. He's bringing in stars. He got Kawhi and Harden and Paul George. And yeah, they might be flawed and hurt, but he can afford to make the mistake. The Clippers are actually relevant. Who knows? Maybe the Clippers win the championship? Oh, wow. Not expecting that, but wouldn't be surprised. New stadium, lots of toilets, lots of money from Steve Ballmer. I have him at number two, top six owners in sports, and Steve Ballmer comes with tons of enthusiasm. Now, if I got him at number two, that only leaves us here.
Number one.
If I got to talk about the top owner in sports, if I have to think about the top ownership group in sports, it's one of continuity. It's one that doesn't jump out and just jump on to the next hot thing. It's a legendary organization. This is one of the big teams in professional sports here in North America. I got to look at the Rooney family. They own the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yeah, they have owned the Pittsburgh Steelers going on 100 years. From Art Rooney to Dan Rooney to the latest Art Rooney. They have run this ship, and they've only had 16 head coaches. I mean, to even go back to the late 60s, they've only had three head coaches. The majority of people listening to me right now probably only recall this team having three head coaches, whether it's Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, or the one, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, when he calls it a wrap, he's going into the Hall of Fame. Mike Tomlin, by the way, on the list of one of the best head coaches as voted on by the NFL Players Association. I know there's a lot of fans who want to get rid of the dude. The players love and appreciate him as a head coach. And this is the reason why I got the Steelers here. They're actually smart. They don't just fire people because the fans say get rid of them. And yes, they're not in the highest of highs right now. But I have confidence that sooner than later, they'll get the job done. A matter of fact, Art Rooney, the second, he believes that they'll get the job done as well. He spoke to CBS Pittsburgh, and this is what he had to say.
You know, when you see Mike's interaction with players in the building and certainly the respect that particularly the veteran players have for him and their belief in him, Mike is one of the best coaches in the league as far as I'm concerned, and we're happy we have him.
Yeah, well, the players are too. There are a lot of players, though, who believe that Art Rooney isn't going to spend money into the team. The Steelers have a way to win. It's defense. Steelers also need a quarterback. I think that goes without saying. Wouldn't be shocked if they got their hands on one this offseason. They need one because we know Kenny Pickett ain't the guy. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. And also, I can't forget the Rooneys. Well, at least Dan, he helped usher in the Rooney Rule. And I know a lot of people aren't happy about diversity, equity, and inclusion. People are scared of it. It's reverse racism. Oh, my God, it's terrible. But that's also a bonus and plus that they helped implement. And shout-outs to the Rooneys. Consistency is key. There's no more stable of an organization, I'd say, in professional sports in most cases than the Steelers. 855-212-4CBS. That was my top six list, taking a look at some of the top owners in sports. At number six, I gave you Joe Lacob. At number five, I gave you Mark Walter of the Dodgers. At number four, I gave you Arthur Blank of the Falcons. Number three, Steve Cohen of the New York Mets. And number two, Steve Ballmer. And at number one, hey, it's Mr. Rooney. Well, damn it, it's the whole Rooney family. I'm going to take your calls on the other side of the break. If you have any thoughts, ideas, some of the best owners in professional sports, share them with me. They can't all be terrible and bad, and I'm sure there's more than six who are damn good. I'm going to get to your calls on the other side, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I don't call into radio stations either. I'm just here and talk. It works out for me. Thank you so much for listening. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you thought that Mecole Hardman hated the New York Jets and just wanted to escape the team, wait until what I'm going to share with you. It appears that he did a little bit more than request a trade from the New York Jets back to the Chiefs. I'll tell you about that in a second. Before we went to break, I did share with you a top six list. Talked about the top six owners in sports. If you missed the list, the explanation, the whole names, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. At number six, I gave you Joe Lacob, owner of the Warriors. At number five, I gave you Mark Walter, owner of the Dodgers. At number four, I gave you Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons. At number three, I gave you Steve Cohen, owner of the New York Mets. At number two, Steve Ballmer owns the Clippers, irrelevant forever. Now relevant. How about that? Can't believe it. New arena and everything. And then number one, I gave you the Rooney family of the Steelers. Continuity is key. I love continuity. Slow and steady, or at least having a steady hand, and just not being a jackass of an organization. I appreciate that. As well as the Rooney rule, and just not jumping at the next hot thing. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go ahead and talk to Alan. He is calling from Toronto, Canada. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
The Colorado football team, they have themselves a Rocky Mountain High. Rob Walden, the son of Sam Walden I'm talking about, he's worth about $7.2 billion. And he bought the team in August of 2022. For $4.7 billion. It's a record for a franchise in any sport whatsoever. And he transferred ownership to his son, Greg Penner, and Greg and his daughter, his wife, Carrie, they're running the franchise right now. And the four children have an ownership stake in the franchise. And apparently they have no voice in the day-to-day operation. And that's a good owner. A good owner just stays in the background when he can, not too much meddling, you know. All the questions in the world you want, but stay in the background, no interference. And he took over from Joe Ellis, who stepped down. And they have themselves a Colorado Rocky Mountain High. It's just earth-shattering, that $4.7 billion that they bought it for, that Rob bought it for. And he's worth $72.7
billion. Alan, yeah, it's the Walmart people. Just cut the chase. This is the people who own Walmart. Here's my question to you, though. What the hell have they done? They haven't done anything.
Well, Stevie Cohen hasn't done anything either. You know, he spent a lot of money and they didn't even make it.
He has. He's thrown they gave Russell Wilson a contract. They're ready to get him out of there. Okay, at least the New York Mets, Steve Cohen comes in. At least they've won 100 games. They've been competitive.
Yeah, historically, he's a lot better. Rooney is a lot better historically, I can say.
I'm not asking you about Rooney. I'm not asking you about Steve Cohen. When I take a look at this group, the Walton group, the Walmart people, what have they done?
Nothing so far. But
oh, there you go. So how can I have them here?
Yeah. You're right. How can you have them here is right, yeah.
Yeah,
Mark Cuban, you can have Mark Cuban here, but he interferes too much. That's the only thing I have against Mark Cuban.
Yeah, well, Mark Cuban ain't been all that hot lately, and Mark Cuban basically sold his stake in the team, so there you have it.
Yeah, give them a chance.
Give
the Walmart a chance.
Yes, they're the Walmart people. I'll give them a chance. I don't know about Sean Payton, but we'll see. Hey, thank you, Alan. Appreciate you, man.
Always great being on the line with you. Thank you very much, JR.
No problem, Alan. Thank you. Alan is like, hey, the Walmart people. I'm like, what have they done? They said, Russell Wilson, here's a contract. And then they say, Russell Wilson, take a hike. That's what have they done? You know, Steve Cohen's been here. It sounds crazy to say. The man bought the team in COVID, like at the end of COVID in 2020. I mean, sheesh. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. John is calling from Tampa. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, John?
Hey, JR. Good evening. Hey, I want to give a shout out to our owner down in the Lightning Land, Jeff Vinnick. Not only is it a great experience to go into a stadium, everybody is so friendly. He gets $50,000 every game to a charity of in the local community. We've sold out 200 plus games. He keeps the team competitive the entire year, and does he do the Lightning, he rebuilt downtown Tampa into a great community. So I got to give shout out to him.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. Appreciate you for coming through. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
No doubt about it. Yeah, the last time they won a couple Stanley Cups kind of in that COVID time, too. Good for them. 855-212-4CBS. Let me ask you this, Hickey. Is there any owner in an ownership group that you appreciate at all in sports?
I appreciate any owner that does not put money first. Like, that's, like, to me, like, what makes a good owner. I think you kind of highlight in this list, like, it's not as much about wins and losses as it is, are you willing to do whatever it takes to win? Sometimes it doesn't work out. Not a guarantee. Sometimes you make the wrong investment or you get the wrong break, whatever. But anyone that's willing to sit here and say, money is no object. If this is what it costs in order to compete and win, I'm willing to put, you know, my checkbook online and willing to make it happen. That's kind of what I look for, and that's, to me, like, what makes true great ownership.
Yeah, I hear that. That's why I wanted to have a little bit of diversity here in the list. I wanted to take a look at multiple sports and the popular ones. And then I wanted to go ahead and say, hey, who's spending money? And, you know, various reasons here. Most people wouldn't look at Arthur Blank and go, hey, this is one of the best owners in sports. But I take a look at what he does in the community here in Atlanta. And so kudos to him, regardless of how you feel. Ironically, with the Rooneys, I did mention this. They were looked upon by NFL players as being owners, the Rooneys, not willing to invest into the team, into the facilities and whatnot. I still believe that, you know, the continuity with the team kind of jumps out over all of that. Because they're not looked upon as a joke. And I think that's important. I mean, there's enough NFL teams that just are punchlines. And it's not something the Steelers are. And speaking of punchlines, we talked about this in the break, Hickey. There's more to this Mecole Hardman story when it comes down to him wanting to leave the Jets and being traded back to the Chiefs. What's the latest? What did Connor Hughes report?
He is reporting, along with some Jets players kind of cryptically today hinting at this, but not coming outright and saying it, that in addition to wanting out of New York, Mecole Hardman also, while with the Jets, leaked the game plan to, at least right now, we know of two teams that's being reported, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Ironically, the Jets beat the Eagles and were close, right? We were competitive with the Chiefs. But according to Connor Hughes, and you had Kenny Yeboah and Sauce Gardner both kind of tweet hinting at this, but that without directly saying it. Mecole Hardman's out there giving away the Jets plays to their opponents they're playing.
This is wild. Yet Sauce Gardner had tweeted out, we're not going to talk about how our offensive game plan got leaked versus the Eagles, though. Wow. I mean, that's... And I asked Rich Cimini this. If I'm Mecole Hardman, how the hell do you have a job? Like, is he trying to be in the NFL or is he trying to go into witness protection? First of all, you're sending out SOS signals to the opposition saying, come get me, bring me back. And now we're getting rumors and words that you were trying to hurt the New York Jets by leaking their game plans? What? It sounds like somebody who doesn't want to be in the league. It's difficult enough playing in the NFL, let alone to kind of basically bomb your own career. And we've seen some guy. Well, I know Antonio Brown bombed his career. I know it didn't elevate, it didn't go all the way upstairs. But, I mean, damn, for somebody else to do something like this, I can't see you being on a team next year. Not for his production. Not at all. This is always the New York Jets. I was trying to think of positive things that happened to the New York Jets. And in the span of 30 to 40 minutes, we found something else negative. Yeah, the New York Jets, maybe they need to go into witness protection as an organization. And if you want to think about their owner, Woody Johnson, he's a Q-tip man. His name is Johnson, from the Johnson & Johnson family. Family sold Q-tips and Band-Aids and made a boatload of money. Only if his money could help turn around the New York Jets. It hasn't worked up until now. The Jets, the organization, their existence needs a Band-Aid. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk more about this NFL Players Association report card. Some teams were winners, some were losers, and the NFL Players Association trying to put the screws to the owners, especially the bad ones, like the Jaguars when they had rats in the locker room. You think I'm joking. Not a rat like Mecole Hardman, allegedly, like literal rats that gnaw at your clothes and drop things around when they eat. Yeah, those rats, real ones. We'll talk about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket. Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops. Playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines. Getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.